Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, chapter 12. Stand with me if you would please. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and chapter 12. Great job, young people. What a wonderful name. A simple name, Jesus. Even little kids in their first year of life can say Jesus. Simple name. It's a powerful name. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And then, of course, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. What a blessing that is. Ecclesiastes, if you would please look with me in chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Would you read verse number 2? "Give a portion." "If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of a spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all." In verse number 6, read it with me. "In the morning, truly the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity." I'm going to ask you to read verse number 9 and 10 with me, if you would, please. "Rejoice, O therefore, verse number 12 says, chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Let's pray together, can we? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy of being a part of this chapel service. Thousands of men have stood where I'm standing to proclaim your word. Hundreds every year do it. We're very thankful that you love us and care about us. You brought us together. Thank you, Lord, for every student. I am biased, but I especially have a heart of love and gratitude for those who have chosen to enroll here at Howes Henderson College. They're the best. We love them. We're so grateful that you've allowed us to share in their preparation process before they go out into a world that needs them so desperately. I pray you'd please help us. And thank you, Lord, for those visiting us with the college days. I pray that we would not see anything but see what you want us to see from the Word of God, not try to evaluate charisma or gifts, but Lord, may we just see that you have something to say to us today. May I not preach a sermon, but a message from you to the heart of those who are here, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Really honored to have you with us. I remember coming to Howes Henderson College as a young man, 18 years old. I pulled in the parking lot the first time. Actually, I rode in with a guy named Shane who came up from Tennessee. I met him in the parking lot of the Bible Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee, put my footlocker in the back of his trunk and laid my garment bag on top of that and moved into a dormitory right here on Malone 1. And trying to figure out a few things and taking in responsibilities and opportunities that God brought to my life. Do not know that such a huge decision of where I would go to college, when I did not really have a lot of wisdom about where to go. I had not been to other colleges necessarily to evaluate. I did come here, and I had been to some other places, but not even knowing exactly. I had a dad who encouraged me to consider going at least 1 year and to challenge my heart with that. I always encourage young people to at least consider giving your 13th year to the Lord. If you're going to be raised in a Christian home and have that privilege, or you're going to be in Christian schools or home education or even a public school, but God brought you under the influence of a local church, giving that 13th year to the Lord, I think is just a no-brainer. It's something I'm glad my dad encouraged me to do. I did. My five siblings all did. All of us have gone on to not only do our undergraduate work at Christian colleges like Kyle's in, four of us here and two of us at other places, and then get our graduate's degrees in different locations and different universities and colleges. I'm very thankful for the provocation of my mom and my dad, and I'm thankful for what God did in my heart on this place. And it's a place that God has used. It's not a perfect place. Years ago, in 1972, Brother Hiles, while walking with a burdened heart in Pomona, California, realized that he really, God had laid on his heart to start this college. And that was almost, we celebrate our 50th year. Next year, we hope to have a 50th year anniversary for graduation 2022 and a reunion of our graduates that will come back to the campus. I'm looking forward to that very, very much. But 50 years ago, he was walking in Pomona. God gave him that confidence. A few weeks later, he met a man, or he had a good friend named Russell Anderson. And he asked Brother Anderson if he could meet him in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he was preaching 2 weeks later. After the Tuesday morning service, they walked a mile, and he began to share in his heart the burden that he had to start this institution. As a ministry of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and to train men and women who would be surrendered to the Lord to serve Christ and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. They went out to the car. They shook hands at the car door. They bowed their heads. They prayed and committed themselves to partner together. And a few months later, Hiles Anderson College was started. 13 years later, I had the opportunity to come here as a student, and was gone for 23 years teaching school and pastoring a wonderful church in Long Beach, California, before the Lord let me come back to First Baptist Church. And by virtue of my position there at First Baptist, I have a chance to come here to the college 2 days a week and to work with some of the finest servants of Christ on the planet that desire to not only mentor young people, but to model Christianity before young people. And I'm very thankful for that. We're glad that you came. But the reason we're here is not because of the history of Hiles Anderson College or even Brother Hiles, though God used him and he has been with the Lord now for 20 years. If he were here today, he would be in his mid-90s. Would not be an influential part of our present-day ministry. Dr. Evans, our former president, is struggling with Alzheimer's, and struggling deeply with that. But the truth of God marches on. The need is greater than it's ever been. Over 7 billion people breathing air on our planet. And all of them have one thing in common. They're going to live somewhere forever. In heaven with God or in hell without Him. That was the heartbeat of our founder. But it's not just the heartbeat of our founder, it's the heartbeat of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The book of Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. Solomon was the third king of Israel. His dad, David, was an amazing man who understood how God thought, how he felt, and what he wanted. He was a man after God's own heart. He governed Israel for 40 years and then passed it down to a young man named Solomon. And Solomon, whenever he became the king, he realized real quickly he was in over his head. There's no way he could be the king that they needed. He said, "I'm a little child. I don't know how to go in or go out." God said, "What do you need from me?" And he didn't say, "I need riches," or "I need fortune," or "fame," or "a following." He said, "I think I need an understanding heart. I need wisdom." And the Lord really liked that answer. He said, "Oh, that's good. Because with wisdom come riches, honor, and life." Wisdom is doing things God's way. It's accepting God's opinion and saying, "You know, I'm going to do it that way." So it's finding out what God wants you to do and doing it. And the Lord blessed him tremendously. He was the envy of the world. It's unusual to find a man like Solomon because he could do anything he wanted to do. If he wanted to travel, he could travel. If he wanted to ride horses, he'd ride horses. If he wanted to get in a chariot, anything he wanted to do, he could do. If he wanted to get married, he did. He got married 300 times. Not under the will of God, but he just did whatever he could do. He could get anything he wanted to get. He could obtain anything. If he wanted to buy something, he bought it. Most of us, we're limited by finances. We can't have everything we want. We can't go every place we want to go. We can't do everything we want to do. And he could be whatever he wanted to be. He was the envy of the world. The Queen of Sheba heard about it, so she took a trip from her place to his place. And when she saw it, she walked away and said this: "The half was not told me." This guy's unbelievable. There is not even, what I heard, it wasn't even half true. It's double that. It's unbelievable. And yet, he played the fool. He became a wise fool. In his younger years, he wrote Song of Solomon. It was his story and the chronicle of his love with his young wife, a Shunammite farm girl that he loved deeply. And she shares her love with him, and he shares his love with her. And it's a beautiful story. It tells about their wedding and their wedding night and their vows and their passion of wanting to care for you. Because I am my beloved, and his desire is to me. And she talks about how much she loves him and vice versa. And it's a parallel to how much Christ loves us as his eternal groom. He's our groom, we're his bride. In his leadership years, he said a lot of wise things. God records 31 chapters in Proverbs, hundreds of proverbs and pithy sayings. "My son, the sinners entice thee. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge." He said that. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It should be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones." And people are saying, write that down. That's good, that's good. And he continued on and read all of those statements, with the exception of maybe a few at the end, that his mother wrote, "Who can find a virtuous one? A good name is rather be chosen, great riches and loving favor than silver and gold." Or that in Psalms 18, "Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and meddleth with all wisdom." Or, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He'll stand before kings, he'll not stand before mean or average men." He gives continual things, and that's great. But somewhere in that process, he had so much liberty that he took and tried to find fulfillment in the things he could get, the things he can do, and the person he could be, when he had a bottomless bag of resources. And he ruined his life. And at the end, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, The Wise Fool, and he begins to tell them about his things. In chapter 11, he says, "Cast your bread on the water, and it'll return back to you." It's not talking, go out to the lake and put bread in the water. It'll go away. It won't come back to you. And the ducks will eat it. But it's saying, take the investments you have physically, tangibly, resourcefully, and put them into circulation. Put them on the ships of the ocean and send them out and do trade with them. And if you'll invest, it will, after many days, will come back to you. Chapter 2 says, don't just use 7 ships, use 8. He said, don't put all your eggs in one basket and say, "Well, you know, my life is music." Well, what happens if you get punched in the vocal cord? And then you can't sing. You put all your eggs in one basket and you make your life about one thing. He says, no, diversify. If you can learn how to drive a bus, drive a bus. If you can learn how to be a captain, be a captain. If you can learn how to help your bus, do whatever you can do. If you can learn to play the guitar, play the guitar. If you can learn to play the piano, play the piano. If you can, if God gives you opportunities, make investments and don't put all your eggs in one basket. Put them out in 7 ships and even 8, because you never know the evil that's going to befall you. He says, number 1, make an investment. Number 2, diversify your investment. Keep getting it. Why would I want to go to Bible college? Because you'll learn some things in Bible college you will not learn anywhere else in the world. You'll gain some things that you'll put some little tools in your tool bag that will never. I don't even know if I'm called. You're called to something. Figure that out. But make investments. It will return to you in many days. Diversify. And then he tells us something kind of weird. He says, look, if a cloud is full of water, it's going to rain. If a tree is leaning toward the north, it's going to fall toward the north. If it's leaning toward the south, it's going to fall the way it's leaning. And he's just saying that life is very predictable and sometimes unpredictable predictable. There are certain things that are... If you drive a car, if you own a car, you drive it long enough, you're going to have a flat tire. It's just what happens. If you have a mouthful of teeth, you're probably going to get a cavity. If you... are young and your parents are old, they're probably going to die in your lifetime, and you're going to pick out a casket for them. Some things are just going to happen. And then he says, but the person that observes the wind and decides, I don't want to sow, I don't want to put seed out because the wind's coming, will never sow. And the person that says, I would harvest, but it might rain, will not rain. It won't harvest. They'll make excuses. People good at making excuses are usually not good at anything else. And they have reasons why, man, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. Look, if you want to look for excuses, you'll find them. A lazy man says, I would go out, but there's a lion in the streets. When's the last time you saw a lion in the streets? It's just a dumb excuse. He said, but there are some things that God knows. You don't know how do the bones form inside of a womb of a mother? How do the bones form? Hard bones form inside of a womb of a mother and go to the exact proportion of each other. The left arm and the right arm and the right leg, left leg, and they grow simultaneously within the womb. How does that happen? He said, well, just get used to it. There's a lot of things you're not going to know how it happens. But you got a God in heaven who knows everything. And then he turns his attention as an old man who has wrecked his life, who has been a wise fool, and he says, listen, young men, young women, enjoy being young. Enjoy your season of being young. But remember this, that God's going to bring everything into accountability. In just a few days, you're going to walk into the presence of God. Yes, sirree. Well, I'm not saved. You've got a little longer to wait. You got 1,000 years of a millennium and 7 years of tribulation, and then you'll stand before God and be cast into the lake of fire. But for those of us who are saved, we have a shorter time to wait. It's appointed a man once to die, and after that, you're going to stand before God. And you're going to be glad you did or wish you would have. And here's the game changer, verse number 1 of chapter 12. I need to say this and I'm done. Remember when? Now. He's talking to young people. He said, listen, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy... I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, here's some things you need to remember about God. The first thing he wants you to remember about is he made you. He made you. Have you ever wondered why evolution is such a powerful falsehood? It is. It's like a fairy tale with millions and millions of years being its magic wand. Even people who study it out are saying, that's ridiculous. There are too many holes in this. There's got to be another way that everything came. Well, it's important, satanically infused. But the first thing in the Bible, in the beginning, God, what? It challenges the first principle in the Scriptures. But you know what? That's good and well. Most everybody in here would say, yeah, I believe in creation. I want you to understand something. God created you. And by virtue of your origin belongs to Him, your ownership belongs to Him. You do not belong to yourself. I tell you what I want to do. I tell you what I want to do. I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You might want to consider all of those statements. You might want to ask your Creator what you're made to do. No one knows you like He knows you. He made you. He formed you. Psalm 139 tells us you can't go anywhere without knowing that God's with you. And it tells us He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows your uprising, your downfall. He knows your thoughts afar off. No one knows I thought that. Yes, there's someone who knows. The one who made you, whose origin you owe to also owns you. He knows you. He's with you. He made you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous I work. Listen, if God knows me and he made me, and he knows you and made you, he knows what you're good at. And he orchestrates every step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the... Yeah, he delights in it. He loves you. Boy, I remember walking around this campus thinking about Linda Francis. I was dating her, and she played a dirty trick on me. She got a guy in school that was my friend, and she got with him over in the square. She was sitting there ordering some pizza, and she said, Carrie, do you think John even likes me? He goes, oh, yeah, he likes you a lot. Because I hadn't told her I loved her yet, and she wanted me to tell her I loved her. He said, do you think he likes me? She said, oh, yeah, he's crazy about you. Because I don't even know. I wonder if he really likes me. Well, Carrie got all squirrely. He came into my dorm and said, John, you got issues, man. You got to go tell that girl you love her. You love her, don't you? I said, yeah. You got to go out and tell her. She didn't know if you like her, John. I said, what? I sit in chapel with her. I buy her things. I care. What are you talking about? She didn't think. She goes, yeah, she just told me. She didn't know if you like her. I said, there's something going wrong. Well, I went crazy trying to find out. Do I love this woman? Because I do not want to tell anyone else on the planet I love her. I just want to be one person. And I want her to know that. And boy, I went to go get counsel from everybody. And they got me all confused because they told me different stuff. And I went out to the lake and I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, you got to help me. I do not want to go just tell this girl I love her if I don't love her. How do I know if I love her? And I thought about this verse. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they're more than can be numbered. More than the sands of the sea. I thought, man, Lord, if that means you love me, I love Linda. I can't get her off my mind. I'm in church ed. Who cares about church ed when you got Linda on your mind? Man, I'm driving the truck over here at RPS. I don't care about RPS. I'm thinking about Linda. She's so beautiful. She's so sweet. She's so... I had Linda on my brain. I could think about her all the time. I said, I think I love that girl. And I went and told her. And then she didn't tell me she loved me back. She hurt my feelings. Like 3 days it took her. I said, Linda, I love you. I was right out here by the water fountain. I said, Linda, I love you so much. I want you to know that. She said, thank you. I said, what? You bait me into doing this and say thank you? What is that? That was a dirty, rotten trick. But she's figured it out since that time. God loves you. And when you know God loves you, you'll let him search your heart and you'll let him lead you in a way that's everlasting. God made you. He knows you. And because he made you, he knows what you're good at. He's led you. Let him lead you to do the will of God. I'm going to say this and I'm done. The only thing about God's will for your life you ought to be fearful about is not doing it. Missing out. Because you only have a short window of time that you can be young. And it sets the trajectory for your rest of your life. The decisions you make now, you need the wisdom of God to say, God, help me to follow you. It's not rocket science. It's not hide and go seek. He loves you. He cares about you. He will lead you because he made you. He's your creator in the days of your youth. Remember him. Let's pray together. Please don't leave your seat. Just stay right where you are. But won't you take a moment to say, God, help me. Help me to trust you. Help me to know you're my creator. You love me. You've made me. You designed me. You know my strengths, my weaknesses. Help me to invest in eternity. College students, I'm especially concerned for you. Take time to talk to the Lord right now. You hear hundreds of messages every year. But don't let familiarity rob you from curiosity. Let it be fresh to you and say, God, please help me to keep my mind on you as you set the pace for the rest of my life and my trajectory. Young people that are visiting with us from college days, thank you for coming. You've been a great group. Thank you for the way that you so gracious to be here, be attentive, participating. Trust the Lord. He made you, He created you, He loves you, and He wants to lead you in a way that's everlasting. You can always expect more than you can expect when you trust the Lord, your Creator. Father, thank you. Please bless this day, we ask in Jesus' name.